Welcome to Fierce Woman Radio, where you'll find the strength, wisdom, and inspiration to unlock your greatness. My name is Rosa Alejandra. I am an action-driven disruptor whose main goal is to help you stop talking the talk so that you can start walking the walk. Are you ready to be inspired by another amazing story? Let's get started. I am happy to introduce you to today's guest, a woman who is an avid advocate to end the stigma that surrounds mental health and who is now one of the founding board members of the new nonprofit RISE. Please help me welcome Alicia Vargas. Excited I am to have you here with us today. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence, and I cannot wait for you to share your story with all of our listeners. You know, this is all about womaning up, becoming fierce, and I know you've been through some stuff, so thank you for willing to be vulnerable and like I said, share with us. But first, please introduce yourself. Let us know who you are, where you are, and why do you love doing what you do now?
Well, thank you so much for having me and for inviting me. I am super excited. I feel like I've come a long way in life. And just personally, my origin story, I guess, of, you know, how my journey started. I got into a relationship with a man when I was young and eventually ended up married. And now recognize that my relationship was very verbally, emotionally, mentally abusive. Thankfully, never physically. But all that means is that it's harder to recognize when you're in the middle of it. So I knew that abuse existed outside of physical abuse, and I somehow still missed those signs, even though I knew the signs. I didn't recognize them in myself until after I was out of that situation. And at the same time, I was in the middle of a very deep depression, very serious anxiety, and I now realize I've had that my entire life, but that situation, I mean, blessing in disguise, I was able to put a name to it for the first time. Mm-hmm. So now coming out of that, I spent so many years doing research on what abuse was and what mental health is and what depression and anxiety is, and learning about myself and my brain and my journey. And I did a lot of self-reflection. And now, thankfully, years later, I am married to a man who helped me on that journey and like really pushed me to face everything that I, you know, struggled with. Mm-hmm. And I have twin sons who push me every day to break those abuse cycles. And professionally, I work at a day program for adults with developmental disabilities. And my job is to coach our staff and give them the tools to work with our individuals and help them be successful. And in the past, in this field, there's not a lot of training. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's sink or swim a lot of the time. And I decided I wanted to use my experience and really push our staff to be better and teach them how to handle other people's emotions, how to handle their own emotions, how to find that work-life balance. Because in human services, you're serving people and you take on so much. So I really wanted to push them to find that balance and, you know, work through their own issues. And now I'm on the board of an amazing group named RISE, and we are reimagining inclusive self-empowerment. Mm-hmm. I am on a board with amazing people. Carrie, who is a dear friend to both of us, invited me. And she's given me such a great platform to teach people about mental health. And I love it because I love talking. It sounds weird. I love talking about my depression and anxiety because I'm past the point of wallowing. I'm
victimhood.
Exactly. Yes. And it's still there, but I can help people now and I can teach them how to get the help they need before they get to the point that I got to.
I really love that. I really love that. And I want to emphasize on what you just said. You know, you can now freely, without reliving your past, you can share your experiences without that victimhood, right? And I know there is a stigma out there that, you know, people that want to be helped by people like you or like myself or like Carrie, they're hoping they're going to get somebody that's never, you know, that's never had to go through this crap, you know? And there is this also stigma about the wounded healer. And what people don't understand is that nobody can help you that hasn't been in your shoes before.
Exactly.
And that is why people like Alicia, Carrie, myself, and many other, you know, coaches and healers that are in my circle, that's where we come in. This is not about perfectionism. This is not about pretense. This is not about, you know, being perfect and flawless. This is about being you with all your imperfections, with all your pain, your hurts, your traumas, but knowing how to do life a little better so that you can actually, you know, be happy. There is people that, like I said, you know, they're so adamant about just healing and who, you know, and who they have in their circle, and that person has to be so perfect. And that is why a lot of people are not helping other people, because they're so afraid they're going to be rejected because they don't have their life perfect or all together. And it's not about that. And just FYI, I mean, and I'm talking to the listeners, right? It ain't never going to be perfect.
Exactly.
Like Alicia said, like you just said, love, you know, I'm still working on it. It's an everyday thing, and it's going to continue to be an everyday thing. But the tools that you've gathered, the knowledge that you have, the wisdom, the way it's applied is a whole different level. So I absolutely exactly. love what you're sharing. Thank you. Keep going.
Well, and like you said, it's never going to be perfect. And I mean, even just a few years ago, you know, you had met me when I was in the middle of probably one of my lower points. And mm-hmm. I struggled with not being perfect and mm-hmm. just those standards. And like, I thought I had it together. Like I thought I had grown out of my trauma and I was good to go. And then little things would knock me down and I would spiral. And now, you know, those voices are still there. Those every now and then, those negative self-thoughts, but it's background noise now. Now it's there and I can acknowledge it, but I can also acknowledge that it's not true. It's just a voice. It's background noise. It doesn't have to affect my everyday. And I mess up and I make mistakes, and I love the fact that I am not perfect, because how boring would that be? Yeah. And I, now where I used to spiral, I can pick myself up and say, oh, that was a bad moment. Now, how are we going to do better? And thankfully, I have been able to embrace that to where I can coach other people. And it's funny because I talk to my staff about, you know, working through behaviors and taking on too much. And like, I've given the talk about self-care and everything, and I'm a little bit of a mess sometimes, but you mentioned earlier about being vulnerable.
Yes.
And I will fully tell them, like, I just made this mistake last week, and you know, we let it go, we move on, we learn from it. And same with these workshops that we do for RISE, self-care, those baby steps, that positive self-talk. And I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect. You're gonna mess up, and sometimes I snap at my kids and I feel guilty. And where I used to spiral and have that anxiety and depression of not being good enough, now I think, okay, this is my chance to show my kids how I apologize.
Yes. This is
my chance to show them that mommy makes mistakes too. And same with my staff. I can tell them I've been in your shoes.
Yes. And I think what's also misunderstood is that vulnerability actually, not only does it help you help others, but it helps the others give themselves permission to not be perfect, right? Like you said, you know, you apologizing to your kids is not just teaching them that mommy is not perfect and she makes mistakes, but it's also teaching them that it's okay to apologize. Exactly. They don't have to be perfect. It's okay to make mistakes, you know? And dealing with yourself with grace goes a lot farther than dealing with self with criticism, because your self-criticism, your self-bashing is what actually keeps you stuck.
Exactly.
I am known, I mean, and if you're listening and you don't know this yet, if you go back to listen to all the other episodes, you'll see that in every episode I end up throwing myself under the bus and I don't give one hoot, because now that I think about it, it's like, holy crap, I cannot believe I went through that. And I'm not saying it's fun. It was a funny thing, but it's funny how we deal with things when we don't know better, right? And it's like, shoot, if I only knew then what I know now. And because we know now what we know now, that's why we do this podcast. That's why we do these classes and workshops, because we want you to know better before you get to where we ended up, right? Before you hit yourself with that wall. But unfortunately, a lot of people, especially women, but I might be wrong on that statement, because at the end of the day, I really don't deal with men. I only deal with women. They don't want to do the work. They think it's like the most unnecessary thing. They just want to go from point A to point Z, and they don't give a damn about B, C, D, E, F. And the thing about it that I always preach, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, is like, great, it is possible to get to Z, but how long are you going to be able to sustain that? Are you truly going to enjoy it? Would you even appreciate Z if you've never even had that feeling or that thing in your possession? Like if you've never lived through it, or are you going to sabotage it because you're not even ready for Z, because you didn't do your job in between? What are your thoughts on that?
I agree fully, because there's such a desire to get, like you said, from point A to point Z. And not only do you have B, C, D, E in between, but you have B, C, D, C, B, you're gonna fall back. And too many people think that it's a straight line, and too many people think that once you stumble or once you start to fall back on that progress, that, oh, the journey's over, messed up, what's the point? And no, it's not gonna be a straight line, you know? And especially with mental health. And that's one thing that we're really trying to encourage with these workshops, is it's not going to be a straight line. Mental health ebbs and flows. You have good days, you have bad days. And, you know, sometimes your bad days are going to be really bad. And you keep pushing forward, because a stumble isn't a stop.
Correct. It's just a little pebble on your shoe. Take it out and keep on walking. So the other thing that I wanted to add to this talk, because you're talking a lot about mental health, right? And I personally identify more with emotional health. Mm-hmm. But I know they're like completely correlated, right? Because emotions create thoughts and thoughts create emotions and blah, blah, blah. But the other thing that I don't think is talked enough about, and I know this, and you probably know this because you've gone through some health issues as well, I believe.
Yes.
Your nutrition will affect the way you do life like you have no idea. Mm-hmm. I just got through watching a video where this woman is like, please tell me, how soon does hormone replacement takes effect? Because even my husband doesn't recognize me, and I've only been on progesterone for 8 days. And he's used to my mood swings. He's used to me always picking a fight. And I feel so leveled. It's crazy. And yeah. I'm just bringing this to say that not only do we have to watch what we think, what we watch, how we speak to ourselves, who we kick it with, who we learn from, but also what we put in our bodies. Because mm-hmm. if you're having a bad day, more than likely you're going to make a bad decision and you're going to put some crap in you, and that just fucked your entire day, week, or month up. So have you experienced that?
Oh, I've experienced that. And that's one of those things that I will freely admit, that there are definitely times where I'm fully aware I am not making a good decision.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I'll deal with the consequences. But then once I start, you know, working on that, then I start to get back on track. And there's certain physical things that just affect my overall physical health, my mental health.
Yes.
And that's one thing that kind of triggered me to even realize that I had depression and anxiety, was I had all these physical symptoms that I was treating. You know, I was nauseous all the time, and my weight was up and down, and I couldn't sleep. My back was hurting. I had migraines, and I kept treating each symptom. And then once I, you know, Dr. Google, I put it all in the search engine, and then it popped up depression. And it never occurred to me that my physical health was just all combined with, I'm feeling sad.
Yeah.
And now I know if I don't get enough sleep, if I have days where I just can't sleep, I know that I'm about to go into a low. And that's something that I've had to be really aware of, where if I don't prioritize certain physical priorities, physical, you
needs.
Know, yeah, I have been able to see when I let that stuff fall away, that's when I start feeling those moods start to shift, and I have to course correct and like, oh, we got to go to bed early tonight. We got to make sure we eat dinner.
Yes.
You know, we gotta shower and wash our face and brush our teeth, and then a couple days and I can feel the changes, like, okay, I'm starting to balance out. But there are times when I skip meals or, you know, graze and just kind of eat junk and go to bed late, and then I start to feel that shift. And yeah, your physical health is completely connected.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm saying all of this to say that there is a lot of people, you know, pushing mindset, 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 mindset. And it's like, shit, mindset is not the first thing. It's not the end all be all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, positive affirmations. Okay, yeah, you can positive affirmate your way till you're blue, you know, in the face. But what are you doing that's going to support those practices? You know, what are you doing? How is your environment? How is your diet? What, you know, like you said, sleep. And mm-hmm. I know that there is many people that are like, well, you know, I just can't sleep. I've always been a night owl. And we take pride, and I say we because I've always said I'm a night owl, right? But guess what? Cortisol spikes like crazy. It bloats your belly, and mm-hmm. it F's up your moods. So if you cannot sleep, then find, I know this sounds like it's turning into a nutrition. No, I'm not a nutritionist, but I have, you know, because I've been through my own journey as well. I've had to learn so many different, there's so many vantage points to who we are, right? Mm-hmm. And that is why I always promote self, self, self. Everything is about yourself, getting to know yourself, how you operate, how you're eating, how you feel. Like, you literally have to become the detective of your own life, your body, your thoughts, your words, everything. Because otherwise, you can sit here and hire a coach for mindset, and then bad name that coach. Oh, she ain't shit. She couldn't help me. She didn't do this. But you didn't do your due diligence, and you thought everything was in your mind when really it was on the pantry. You lower your cortisol level so you can go to sleep, right? You can hire Alicia for mental health, but then really it was your pain that was exacerbating your angry feelings. And, you know, and that's why you were lashing out at kids. And that was, you know, like, what is going on all over. This is about wholeness. You know, it's not just about wellness, it's about wholeness. You are a whole, and there is so much, so many dimensions to you that everything has to be addressed. And I want to go back really quick to what you say. It's not just A, B, C, D. Sometimes it's A, B, C, D, A, B, you know, and then you come back. I remember one of my readers had my book, and back then, and when I say back then, maybe 2019, when I had recently put out the book, I wanted, you know, women to give me their feedback on their book. So I was like on them. So how are you doing? Do you need any help? Come on, where is my feedback? Da, 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 da. And they'll be like, I'm still on chapter two. And I'm like, bitch, you've been in chapter two for about 3 months. What's up with that? My book, you literally can read it in 30 minutes. So I was so not patient. I had no grace, right? And it's just like, you don't understand. This is such a good chapter that I'm not ready to move on because this is showing me things. And then I practice them again. And then once I practice them, it shows me more. So then I have to come back and read that chapter one more time because I just learned more about myself. So then I go ahead and put a new practice in from what I learned. And then I learn more. So then she was literally on chapter two for almost a year. And I was like, where is my feedback? I want my, I was getting so mad, but then I didn't realize that, you know, that book actually made them dig deep. Carrie, I know we're going to talk about Carrie and she's not here, but I'm sure she's going to listen. It was the same thing with her, right? It took her about a year to go through the book. So I'm saying this to say, yes, of course, you know, shameless plug, buy my book. But what I'm saying is that you will sometimes stay stuck at B, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's because you realize so much that you want to learn more and more, and then you start experimenting with yourself and you're like, oh shoot, this is working out. Let me try this now. Let me try that now. And now Z, point Z, looks so insignificant because you've learned to enjoy the journey of you, of learning you.
That's one thing that I really have tried to focus on is, you know, we all have those long-term goals. And one thing that I heard it somewhere, it stuck in my brain. And I've always kind of focused on that when I start to get anxious is when you worry about what's to come, you're thinking about the future with the skill set you have now. But by the time that comes, you will have gained those skills. So now I'm in less of a rush. I'm in less of a rush to get there. I'm in less of a rush to, you know, why am I feeling so anxious? Well, because I don't know what I need to know now. And like you said, I'm going to incorporate things from the steps I'm taking. I may go back and, you know, there are times when my husband will call me on something and he's like, you don't realize, you know, how you just communicated that. And then I have to reevaluate. Oh, shoot. I fell back. I backslid, and let me rethink how I'm approaching things. And okay, let's go back to point C and start again. But yeah, it's when you think too far ahead and you don't focus on the skills, you know, that you need, that's where the anxiety comes. That's where the depression comes, where I'm not where I want to be. Okay, well, I'm where I need to be.
Yes, because you have something to learn from where you're at right now. I just posted a video last night on TikTok. And it says, you know, many people say that if you want to do better, you have to choose better. Right. Mm-hmm. And back when I had no grace and I had no patience, I didn't understand how people really worked. I just wanted them to buy my book. I used to say, well, if you really want it that bad, then you have to make that choice. Everything's a choice. Everything's a choice. Everything's a choice. And I repeated it. But it's not true. Because what you just said is exactly what I said in my video. You can make a choice today to change something, to do better, but you're going to do better at the level of you today. Mm-hmm. Because you can only make choices at the level of you today. So if you don't get to know yourself and understand what you need to move out of, where you need to grow, what you need to upgrade, then you will continue to make choices that will continue to take you to where you are today, because the choice that you made yesterday has you here today. So when I posted that, I had a woman, and I don't want to, you know, well, I won't even open it because I don't want you guys to hear it as far as too loud. But she commented, that's too much thinking, make it simpler. So my response to that was, I was like, whatever works for you is going to work for you. I left it at that, right? Because that right there is exactly the problem. Like, you don't want to fucking think for yourself. You don't even have to think for anyone else. For yourself. You don't want to. And I was just so baffled. And I get it. It sounded like a tongue twister, what I was trying to explain. But the bottom line is, yeah, if you think it's just a choice, okay, great, make the choice. But who's making that choice? The wounded you, the traumatized you, the angry you, the one that's full of love or forgiveness, who is making that choice? Because there is so much to you that if the wrong one makes the choice, that choice is going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Exactly. Anytime, the times that I've fallen the hardest have been the times when I've tried to rush things.
Yes.
And didn't take the time to, you know, have that patience, think through things. And I think there's a lot to be said for giving yourself grace.
Yes.
And allowing the time. And I think the misconception has been that loving yourself and giving yourself grace means just, I accept myself and nothing needs to change.
Right.
And there's a lot of strength in giving yourself grace, but still pushing yourself. And that's one thing I've coached, even, you know, like I said, I coach our staff a lot, and sometimes those concepts, you know, you're serving other people, sometimes those concepts are hard to, you know, just figure out, and it takes time. And I try to tell them, push yourselves out of your comfort zone and keep doing the work. You know, this isn't an excuse to just say, okay, I'm good now. You keep pushing yourself, but accept that you're probably going to mess up at some point, and then move on from that and keep going.
Absolutely.
It's a balance.
Yeah. And you hear me continuously say, you know, when I didn't know any better, when I was just pushing people, when I was like, because I knew the concepts of what it took to heal because I did it for myself. But it's different when you're doing things for yourself than when you start dealing with other people. Now you have to take into account their personality, their traumas, their perception or perspective. And you also have to learn to not take it personal. Example, back once again to my good friend that was stuck on chapter 2. I was like, she just doesn't give me a review. Like, I was making it all about me, right? So there is so much to learn, especially if you're serving others. You know, you have to heal yourself so that you don't take on what they're carrying or take it personal, but also so that when you serve from a place of grace and love and true service, and not from control, not from your perspective, not from how you want them to heal. About 2 years ago, I had a conversation with a good friend as well. And I always call them all good friends because, you know, I know these people. I get to be in their aura, and I feel them. They're good people, right? And she was like, you know, I have a friend that loves, you know, taking going to tarot readings, right? Tarot readings. And I know the tarot reader, and you know, and this one came over and told me, you know, oh, you know, don't mess with Rosa, because I don't even remember exactly everything that she told her, right? But the point is that what I told her and what came out of my spirit that day was like, look, you make your own decisions. You have to learn to feel the vibe of the people. You have to learn to feel the energy of the people and read them. And also you have to learn that sometimes healers are not completely healed. So if a tarot reader already has a perception, or let's say, for example, her energy and mine clashed, from that point on, anything that comes out of her mouth about me, it has nothing to do with what she's reading. It has to do with what she's feeling, and that energy is coming through. So that's why it's like, I have nothing against, you know, the tarot readers or palm readers. As a matter of fact, I get curious every now and then, but be careful who you take advice from. Be careful who you believe. Be careful. This is why it's important to get to know yourself, because they're telling you, teaching you, training you, coaching you from their perspective. And if they're not okay, if they're not whole, and again, this is not about perfection. This is not about them being completely, you know, sanctified and holy. This is about, you know, just being genuine. You're able to see when a person's genuine, right? So getting to know yourself will help you learn discernment as well. You'll be able to deal with people and cope with people a lot better. You'll be able to know when bullshit's being thrown at you. You'll also be able to catch yourself when bullshit is about to come out of you towards people, right? And understand that, wait, I'm making this personal. This is not personal. This is about them. So let's reel it back and just get back to them. So definitely, especially if you're ladies, you know, that's what they do, serve others. Not only do they have to work on not taking things personal, but they have to definitely dive deep into themselves, because otherwise you can't do for others what you cannot do for you. And that other part, what you said, you know, accepting yourself doesn't mean you don't do anything. That is so true. This movement about, you know, self-love for plus size women, right? So many people hate it, or you're just, you know, idolizing fat people. No, you know, you're just making it, you know, glamorizing fat people. No, it's just that a woman that doesn't like herself will never help herself. When was the last time you helped your enemy, right? So you need to learn to accept, and then now you can make changes. Anyway, let's go ahead.
That's something that I, you know, really took away when we did our workshop together, you know, centered around your book, is it changed my perspective on taking care of my physical needs, you know, taking care of my mental health needs, because I used to approach it as a chore. And I even mentioned this in one of our Rise workshops. I used to view it as a chore, like, oh, now I don't feel like taking a shower. Now I have to go do this. Now I have to make time to make myself food. And I remember you telling me you need to approach those things with love.
Yes.
And you do it because you love yourself, and you do it because, you know, you want to care for yourself. And once I shifted that perspective, it made it less of an obstacle. You know, it wasn't something that I had to do. I wasn't scheduling in a chore. It was, no, I know I'm going to feel better once I do this. Yes, I need to, but that's beside the point. You know, approach it with love. And that is a shift in perspective that I've had to work really hard on.
Yeah, because it does take, and especially like we said, you know, if you're ill, if you don't have energy, because I go through it, you know, the Hashimoto's kills me, like, and then when it starts raining, I'm in so much pain, and I start becoming miserable within myself. So I have to work really hard at, you know, at getting back to myself and convincing myself that it's just the rain, it's not you. No, you did not fall back. So no, don't buy that pizza just because you're pissed off, or use the rain as, oh, I'm supposed to be home cozy and sleep all day and just give me some pizza. Like, no, because you're going to hate the next 3 days. And then the problem is not that we just sabotage ourselves. The problem is that we spew all that sabotage onto everybody around us.
Exactly.
Because they also pay the price, not just us. So that's in. Like you said before, and I'm going to repeat it, you know, it's an every single day battle. The difference is that you become more aware and you start understanding why things are happening. And then you can make choices, informed choices, rather than just impulsive choices. Right?
Exactly.
So let me ask you, I would like you to, you can hear me fine, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Because my thing says it's reconnecting to the internet, so I hope we're good. Let me ask you, what exactly you told us what RISE stands for, but why, you know, how did it come about? Who do you guys serve? You know, share it with the people. Tell us about RISE.
So RISE is a nonprofit. And we serve anyone that we can. And we serve anyone and everyone who is willing to empower themselves.
Who's willing to rise.
Exactly. We want to rise up. We want to lift people up and give them the tools to rise up on their own once, you know, we are no longer directly serving them. So the idea is self-empowerment, but making it accessible regardless of gender, ethnicity, finances, you know, disability, illness. You know, we have a couple members who are cancer survivors, mm-hmm. who are members of the board and co-creators. And we have members who have illness, you know, long-term illness and mental health issues. And so we want to provide resources to anyone and everyone, because everyone deserves to be empowered. And, you know, everyone deserves to have the resources to empower themselves. So we do Zoom workshops. We're currently organizing our first in-person meeting. We have support groups. I know Carrie runs a cancer support group specifically. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, there's a cancer retreat in the works, and we have more retreats that we are planning. So we're still kind of in the infancy stage, but at the moment, you know, we've done a lot of support groups, workshops. It's just anything that we can provide. One of our members, she provides accessible outdoor excursions. So she is able to serve individuals, even if they have disabilities that mm-hmm. might normally prevent them. Mm-hmm. So she's able to do, you know, hikes and I believe she did like kayaking and different things like that. And it's something that is still very much in the planning stages, but with very big dreams and very big goals to make those resources as accessible as possible. So we wanted to, it's very broad who we serve, because honestly, we feel like everyone deserves to be served.
Beautiful. And it's a big purpose. It's a big purpose. And I love it. So we are coming towards the end of our recording today. Before I ask you my three questions that I usually ask my guests, I would like to know if there is anything else that maybe I didn't ask you that you would like to share.
I feel like we delved pretty deep. I do just want to encourage everyone to check out our Rise page on Facebook and Instagram, Rise Reimagined. And, you know, the workshops are free. Like I said, we want them to be accessible regardless of income. So, you know, just keep an eye out for upcoming workshops. We all take turns hosting them depending on our personal experiences and expertise.
But are these workshops online or in person?
Both. So okay. We are primarily Zoom at the moment. Again, accessibility is key.
Yes.
But we do have regular in-person workshops that are on the schedule as well. One is actually going to be this weekend. So there's a little plug. If you go to our Facebook page, you can register for the workshop. But yeah, we do provide both.
All right. Perfect. So are you ready for my questions?
I think so.
All right. So question number one, what advice would you give your younger self?
I think about that every day of, you know, if I had known. I think the big thing is that as hard as the situations that I have been in felt, that they all served a greater purpose. And abuse and mental health struggles, it's not ideal. I wouldn't necessarily wish that on anyone, but it's given me a purpose. and it's given me a path. So I would tell myself to just keep going and keep self-reflecting and keep building.
I love it. What is one myth you would like to bust today?
Oh, there's so many, especially like you said, there's so much stigma with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I think two primarily, one myth is that abuse is easy to spot, mm-hmm. because it's not, especially if you are in the middle of it. And especially if it's not so obvious, like physical abuse, which again, I wouldn't wish on anyone. But if you feel like you're being abused, you're being abused. If you wonder if you're being abused, you're probably being abused.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, I want to bring awareness to that. It's not always easy to spot, especially when you're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other myth is that we shouldn't be talking about mental illness, or mm-hmm. that talking about it is going to make people worse or wallow, or it's a sign of being a victim, because mm-hmm. I've been told that
mm-hmm.
even by family. I was told, you know, I thought you were stronger once I started talking
yeah.
about it.
Oh yeah.
And no, being vulnerable is strong.
Yes.
So that's the other myth.
I love it. And last but not least, if I handed you a magic wand right now, what would you use it for?
I could, you know, I could do the pageant, world peace and everything, but like, I feel like any personal changes, and it sounds really cheesy, but I'm like, I wouldn't be myself if I got rid of my trauma. I wouldn't mm-hmm. be myself if I got rid of my mental health issues. I mean, let's be real. I would probably get rid of any debt I had.
There you go.
You know, let's wipe debt, and then everyone can focus on their real journeys and everything.
Yes. Yes, I love that. Amen to that, because at the end of the day, when you're surviving, you're not thriving because you're too exactly. busy trying to survive. I completely agree. Well, thank you so much, Alicia. It was such a pleasure having you with me today. And I hope everybody that's listening got a lot of diamonds from everything that she shared with us today. Please share your website one more time. I'm also going to share it on my site, just FYI, but share it one more time.
So we are on Facebook and Instagram. If you look for us on Facebook, it'll be under Rise Team. And then on Instagram, we are Rise Reimagined.
All right, perfect. And I'll go ahead and plug those links. If you want to go find links, just go to rosaslink.com. That's usually where I'll guide you to how to find all those links. And if any of my guests happen to have any freebies, any gifts for you, that's where I post them as well. And then, you know, again, shameless plug, don't forget, you can also click on my book. And other than that, I will talk to you guys. I'll bring you another amazing woman next week. Thank you, Alicia, again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, gorgeous, before you leave, do not forget, go to rosaslink.com. There will be a button there that's going to take you to all the past podcasts. And once you open them, you're going to see some links of some of the gifts that some of my guests have left for you. So make sure you go ahead and claim those. Also, please do not forget to share this podcast. This is meant to inspire women, and you never know what woman out there is actually needing this inspiration, is needing to hear stories, is needing the support that we can possibly provide her through this podcast. So please, in the meantime, stay fierce and make sure to catch the next episode.